Shabbat Shalom. How are you? It's so wonderful to be back in church. Amen. You know, God is just doing some amazing work with the young people. We saw not just through the dance, but also through the video, the testimonies. Just now, SB just showed me, you know, some of the testimony of some of the young people who actually have a list of about 10 to 15 friends, and they have different columns. One of the columns was to pray for them and checklist. You know, I prayed for this person, I prayed for this person. I shared my testimony with this person, and I brought this person to church, and this person has actually become a Christian. There's a checklist that they're doing now, and this is just from one you. Come on. I hope it encourages you, because it encourages me and it inspires me. Because if we can see the young people start growing and multiplying, we can definitely see hope for our church tomorrow. Amen. So we always say, young people are not the leaders of tomorrow. They are the leaders of today. Come on, say it with me. Young people are not the leaders of tomorrow, but the leaders of today. And trust them, empower them, and they will do great exploits for Jesus Christ. I've been a youth pastor for many years, but I also know that young people, their passion is great, but their passion can be in the wrong direction. So I thought of this story of a young man who wanted a girlfriend. So a passion is not to reach out, but to pray for a girlfriend. So he told God and said, Lord, you know, tomorrow I'm going up this bus and my classmates will be there. Show me which one. And so he got off the bus, saw two, you know, classmates, one on the left, one on the right. And then he likes the one on the left, but don't like the one on the right. But suddenly the bus took a very sharp left turn, and his body was leaning on the right, on the one that he didn't like. And you know what he prayed? He prayed the Lord's Prayer, you know, in particular, Lord, please keep me away from temptation. And then suddenly, of course, the bus gone straight again, and suddenly took a sharp right turn, and his body was on the left, the girl that he liked. And this time round, he prayed, Lord, let thy will be done. And we know that while we encourage them, we need to pray for them, because their passion can be in the wrong direction. We go through different seasons in life. You know, you strive to study, earn money, get married, start a family. When you are a child, I said, you have lots of energy, a lot of time, but no money. When you are a teenager, you have a lot of energy, less time, some money. When you are a young working adult, you have less energy, less time, more money. When you are retired, you have no energy, lots of time, and lots of money. I do not know what season you are in, but this is the paradoxes of life, isn't it? And sometimes we need to hold on. Sometimes we need to let go. Sometimes you need to slow down. People say, slow down, slow down. And the same person will tell you to slow down, say, hey, you got to move faster a little bit more. And sometimes we need more time. We use time to create space, realizing that in the space, you may not have more time. So we live through all these paradoxes. You went to school to get a job. You can have family. Who knew that having a job that allows you to be financially able to take care of your family will mean that you will never see your family again. And so some people are struggling with this whole balance thing, right? When you're working, you're thinking of sleeping, and when you're sleeping, you're thinking of working. Feeling all stressed up in Singapore. How many of you are feeling this way? Alright, I'm glad nobody raised hand. Praise God. But sometimes I do think about such things, and I wonder, how do I balance it all? Alright, I wonder, how do we balance it all? And people tell me, you should have work-life balance. The world today is asking us to have all this life balance, achieving the sweet spot. But you know what? Is there really a balance? Because the same person that asks you to have balance is probably asking you to work. You know? And sometimes we are living in such contradiction. In fact, the Chinese word for contradiction is called 矛盾. Alright. You know, 矛盾 means, 矛 is actually the spear, 盾 is actually the shield. And 矛盾 comes about because there was a story about this guy who was selling a spear that says that it can pierce through any shield. At the same time, he was selling a shield that said that it can block any spear. So someone said, then can you use your spear to poke your shield? And that's why it's called 矛盾, because it's a contradiction. And we go through life in this kind of contradiction. And we wonder how we can balance. And as I was preparing this message, I was looking at all the videos I can find about balancing. I realized there are some people who are really good at balancing. I don't know whether you have come across people who can really balance. And, you know, some of them put actually this feather and then can balance all these, you know, rocks and all this stuff. And I do not know about you, but I think if you can find that sweet spot, it looks really nice and quite peaceful and quite a nice art piece. I've seen people that can do that. And I thought to myself, well, it is good to balance that, but these are things. What if you balance living things, not dead things? Do you think that you can actually stay that way? And in our minds, sometimes our Christian life, we want to have this kind of balance, right? We thought that, you know, this kind of balance looks good and I'll be happy for the rest of my life. And I thought to myself, I think today as I prepare this, I realized that it is not really about just getting this balance. It is balancing, because if you are a living thing, you find it very hard. You know, one day I actually went to the climbing gym and I saw my children balancing this balance board. And I went up and tried. And to my surprise, because when I saw them, they did it quite well. So this is a video of me learning how to balance on this board. And I will tell you, the longest I'm on it was 11 seconds. All right, this is the video. Is it playing? So this is my longest record, 11 seconds. And when I saw them doing it, it was so easy. When I tried to do it, it was so difficult. And for a while, I couldn't just even get up the balance board. And I realized that if you balance dead things, you probably can get a balance, right? But if you balance living things, it's a little bit like, you know, if you can come out with a very nice roster, everybody is rostered, you know, wow, everything looks very nice, but you're dealing with people, living creatures, right? So that's why your roster get upset. Sometimes you have to change your system, because when people run the system, there are constant change. And so there are three things I learned after this incident. Of course, the first thing, more than three things, I learned that I'm not young anymore, because when I fell, it was quite painful. But I learned three things. Firstly, to maintain balance, you have to keep adjusting. There's never once I was all tensed up, you know. And so life is not about getting a balance, because you need to constantly adjust. And the second thing is this, to maintain balance, it's not always 50-50. Sometimes it's 70-30, sometimes it's 80-20, all right? And it's the same thing, it's about balancing priorities. To maintain balance, you have to focus on the crucial, is when you find your anchor. And therefore, today I've titled the message as Finding Balance in an Anchored Life. Because at the beginning, I wanted to, you know, try to share how you balance this and balance that. And I realized that actually you cannot really balance. In fact, you have to find your anchor. And when you can find your anchor, then whatever you're balancing with, because what you're balancing with and what I'm balancing with may be different, but when you're anchored in the right things, then we can understand why we want to balance, what it means to actually have a balanced life. But to achieve that, we have to ask some fundamental questions. First of all, we must ask this question, what do we really value, all right? And what do we worry about? Because what you value is very important. Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, that spoke about value and system and things, talk about worry also, because a lot of us frustrate ourselves trying to have this work-life balance because we care for the things that maybe Jesus said no need to care about. And so I want us to turn our attention to Matthew 6, the famous passage that talks about don't worry, right? But before we actually read the text together, I want you to know the context before this. Jesus was talking a lot about money. Remember, he was talking about do not lay your treasure, you know, on earth, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So there was this comparison about the corruptible and the incorruptible. Then he talked about generosity, you know, the bad eye and the good eye, which, SP actually taught us. It's about generosity between light and darkness. And then he go on to verse 24 to talk about how you cannot serve two masters, God and Mammon. Have you ever wondered why God never did compare himself to any other gods or any other things except money? Because money is really the driving force for us to strive for many things. Therefore, we have to make a choice. And that's why this passage started with therefore. And shall we read this passage together at the count of three? One, two, three. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We are very familiar with this passage, and we can probably memorize Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But yet, we are always worried about all these things rather than the kingdom of God. In fact, the word anxious, in the original word, it means to worry or to be concerned with. It's repeated 6 times in the few verses that we have read. What are the people anxious about? Jesus says, you are anxious about what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. And many of the needs that we go around as pastors to minister to are concerning about these things. What you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. And many of the things that you're trying to balance in your life is about what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. Maybe you say, no, I'm not a fashionable person. But at the end of the day, you are busy with your life just to go get more things to give you what you eat, and what you drink, and what you wear. And so Jesus was right. I think he was on point about this. And therefore, in the last few verses, there was a comparison, not just with the corruptible and the incorruptible, not just with light and darkness, not just with God and mammon. There was a comparison between the Gentiles and those who were present there, and the Jewish people or the disciples. And it would be like saying, for the Gentiles, seek after these things. Friends, all humanity, we are seeking something. We get worried and frustrated only because we are seeking what everybody else is seeking. I love what Reverend Edmund Chan says, what you seek is what determines who you are. Right? What you seek will determine who you are. And who you are will determine what you see. And what you see will determine how you direct your life. And I love that, because at the heart of it, while you are seeking all these things, you realize that you may not be seeking the kingdom of God. And so, friends, today Jesus is reminding us, if you want to find balance, you must first find the anchor. I do not know whether you are familiar with the Maslow hierarchy of needs. When I was a student, I was always thrown with this Maslow hierarchy of needs. And in our school days, there will be people teaching us, because this is by an American psychologist named Abraham Maslow. In 1943, he wrote a paper called A Theory of Human Motivation. And in that paper, he described how people will first of all need to seek for physiological needs. You need air, water to live, your shelter, and then they go to safety needs, and then go to love and belonging, and then self-esteem, and then they reach this pinnacle where you have self-actualization. And I thought to myself, every time I think about that, I was a little bit uncomfortable at the end goal, because the end goal is just to have self-actualization. Sounds a bit new age to me. And so when I thought about this, I thought to myself, well, there are the right motivation where everybody is seeking. But what Jesus is really saying is this: if you seek first the kingdom of God, then actually you go straight to the top, because then you will have identity in Christ. And in your identity in Christ, you know, all these things will be provided. All these things you don't have to worry, because the Bible says that the Heavenly Father knows them. And so it is for us as Christians, we need to first of all be anchored on God's purpose. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, be anchored on God's purpose. Because true balance is on God's purpose. It's about Him and not about me. Acts 13:36, it says that when King David has served God's purpose in his generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestor, and his body decayed. If your ambition is not of God and for God, it will be about self-ambition. And so our goal as Christian is not to have self-actualization. It is to know our identity in Christ and to serve God in His purposes for us. And only when we serve our generation, then we can fall asleep forever. Praise God for that. Because that is anchoring on God's purpose. And so today I ask you, friends, what is the ambition of your life? Because King David served God's purpose. But however, there are people who don't serve God's purpose. In Luke 7, you know, it says in verse 29, when all the people heard this and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected what? The purpose of God for themselves. The Pharisees and the scribes rejected the purpose of God for themselves. And so you can see that even when Jesus walked in, they could not recognize the Son of God. And so the verse continued. When Jesus says, to what then shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in a marketplace calling to one another. We played a flute for you. You did not dance. We sing a dirge and you did not weep. Whether it's wedding or funeral, you are indifferent. And so today, when we want to think about how we can balance our life, we need to know that it must be anchored in God's purpose. What is the ambition of your life, friends? Are we anchored in God's purpose? In the eyes of the world, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, to the world, they have no balance, because they are all out going after God's purpose and seeking God's kingdom. And so today we must recognize that is the priority. And that's why Charles Spurgeon says this: I know of nothing which I would choose to have as the object or subject of my ambition for life than to be kept faithful to my God till death. Last week, Pastor Mark Toh says this. He summarized with the Westminster Creed and says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What does that mean? It means that your parenting will be according to God's purpose. It means that your work will be centered on God's purpose. It means that your studies will be meant for God's purpose. It means that your ambition will be to glorify Him and find full satisfaction in Him, anchored in God's purpose. You know, for many years ago, I've been serving together with many missionaries. And when I was in a Bible college, I met this missionary that made an impact in my life. His name was Graham Chalker. He has served together with his wife in Ivory Coast in West Africa for probably 15 to 20 years. But when he was serving there, right up to about probably 55 years old, he contracted a neuro disease that was really killing him slowly. And when he was kind of dying, his body would malfunction. And so because of that, he could not continue to serve in Ivory Coast. He was brought back. But when he was brought back, instead of resting, he was still going to different places to talk about mission, to encourage people to come on board to be missionaries. And what happened to him was this disease was killing him slowly, which means to say that because of the neural disease, slowly he could not walk. So he was on wheelchair, but he could still function. He could still use his hands, he could still talk, so he was still giving lectures. And after a while, his hands could not move. When he came to the Bible college, he was pushed in the room by his wife, and his hands was not able to be used. And he said this, "I can still talk." But once in a while, his head would droop down, and he would ask his wife, "Can you push it back again?" Because he got no more strength to push his head up. And at that point, I already forgotten whatever he has preached, but I always remember that he was there saying this, "I still can talk and I still want to serve the Lord." Anchored on God's purpose. Praise God for Graham Chalker and many missionaries who gave their lives to Jesus Christ, not thinking about balancing whether I should serve God or not, but knowing that they are anchored in God's purpose, because they truly know if Jesus Christ is not the Lord of all, He is not your Lord at all. And therefore, it is like a wheel where Jesus is the center and core in everything. And then you have spokes, you have the spokes that puts to the wheel, and that's how I think you can find balance. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be anchored in God's purpose." But we can get distracted, isn't it? And that's why I think the second thing for us to learn is to know our priorities. Because when you know what you live for, then you will know what you can choose from. When you know what you live for, then you will know what you will choose first. Because saying yes to God means saying no to many things in order to win, like what our senior pastor preached about running to win. You have to give up many things. In fact, after the message, I was so stirred up. I went back and my wife asked me, "So what are you going to give up?" Because you need to give up many things, you know, right, if you want to win. And I said, "Yeah, I need to give up sleep." And she was shocked because she was expecting I give up something else. But to be honest, I struggled to wake up even earlier. But you know what? When you say yes to God, it means saying no to many other things. And if you want to keep the main thing, you have to get rid of all the unnecessary. Choose and know your priorities. And we have this, I believe that many people know this illustration about putting the big rocks first. And for those of you who don't know, this is about how using rocks to illustrate the priorities in your life. How you have big rocks and you have the pebbles and you have the sand and you have water. But if you put the water and the sand in, you will not be able to fit the big rocks. But you have to put the big rocks first. And then you put the pebbles and then the sand and the water. So what are big rocks in your life? They are your relationship with God, your health, your family, the kingdom of God. Those are the big rocks. Put that rocks in and put that as a priority. You know, when we read out the story of how people purpose themselves, how Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself, there are so many good examples for us in the Bible that talks about how men and women of God, because they're anchored in God's purpose, they already make the choice before they are tested. And so we need to make our choice. Luke 10, 40 to 42 talks about how Mary and Martha was preparing, you know, Martha was preparing a meal for Jesus. Now Jesus was on the way to Bethany and entered their home. But in verse 40, it says this, "But Martha was distracted." Everybody say, distracted. How many of you have been distracted before like me? Yes. I seem to be the person that often become distracted when I have a lot of things to do. And Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him, in fact, to Jesus, and said this, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious," the same word, anxious, "and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." to mother, what was she worried about? She was worried about how she can be a good host, how she can put up this meal. And then she was also worried about what Mary was doing, because Mary, in that culture, was not supposed to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's for the disciples. We are supposed to prepare a meal to be good hosts. But yet Mary chose the good portion. I wonder what made Mary choose that good portion. Maybe Mary understood how much she has been forgiven. Maybe Mary has an encounter with Jesus so much so that she loves Jesus so much that she just wants to be with Jesus. And today, I wonder how many of us coming to church here, we desire, we long for an experience with God so much that we want to linger in the presence of Jesus Christ. More than just a good worship experience, more than just this one, help me today. It is, Lord, am I worshiping you today? There is a stark contrast between Mary and Martha's attitude. Distraction can make us anxious and troubled. And sometimes we can be distracted by many things. You know, there's a story about a couple, especially the husband. Us husband always very distracted when a wife is talking, right? So there's this story about this husband who was very distracted. And he says this: the other day, my wife asked me to pass her lipstick and I accidentally passed her a glue stick. And she still isn't talking to me. I wonder why. Not unglued yet, I guess. And I think that sometimes distraction can cause a lot of problems. For me, sometimes distraction can make me lose my joy. You are focusing on the wrong things. When you are supposed to serve people with joy and you met up with some frustration, and so you are distracted with much serving. How about that? That your serving was not wrong. That your serving was good in the eyes of God. But yet, you are distracted with much serving. And so you become anxious and troubled. And so the Word of God reminds us to be like Mary, right? That choose that one thing. What is that one thing God is asking you to do? Maybe the one thing is the urgent and important. And we all know this quadrant. We need to do the urgent and important. We need to plan the not urgent but important. We need to delegate the urgent but not important. But we need to eliminate the not urgent and not important. Probably time on social media, IG, TikTok, and whatever that is wasting your time away. And the interesting thing is this. What we read in Luke 10, you know, there's Mary, there's Martha. Do you know they also have a brother called Lazarus? Lazarus was not there, isn't it? Today, I was just speculating with my wife. I say, where do you think Lazarus was? I think Lazarus, maybe don't care. Maybe playing game somewhere, like our son sometimes play a game in the room. Maybe he disappeared somewhere. My wife say, maybe with the disciples there? I do not know. Maybe he's too sick to come out. I do not know. He was not mentioned, but Lazarus was not mentioned here. But I want you to turn to John 12. Now, John 12, something has happened because Lazarus has died and resurrected. And in John chapter 12, it says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, the same place where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, verse 2, to the rest, can you read together? Go. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha, sir, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. So look at this picture and think about the previous picture where Martha was frustrated. She was serving, but she was frustrated. But over here, Martha served, full stop. Over here in the text, Martha serving was a worship. Before that, Martha serving was out of hospitality, being a good host. Over here, you see Lazarus listen as a disciple, like how you're listening to the Word of God. That is worship. Because you listen intently and you are thinking how the Word of God is going to change my life. How I'm going to apply the Word of God. And Lazarus was there, but previously we don't see Lazarus. Or it was not mentioned. And here Mary not just have chosen the better part, Mary worshipped with the most expensive perfume probably prepared for the day on her wedding to be used. And so this Mary was worshipping, Martha was worshipping, Lazarus was worshipping. That's the picture that we have. Why? Because they have encountered Jesus. They realize they need to be anchored into the person of Jesus. They recognize who Jesus was. He's the life and the resurrection. He's the one we need to spend time with. He's the anchor of our soul. And therefore, we make this priority to love Him, to pursue Him relentlessly. So it is about purpose, about priority, and touch your neighbor and say, pursue Him. Before you fall asleep, shout louder in this ear. Pursue Him. Pursue God relentlessly. One thing that Mary did rightly was to be there at the feet of Jesus. And in Philippians 3, Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing, you know, there was one thing that Mary did, and now Paul is saying, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul reminds us we have one thing, is to strain forward, hold on, pursue relentlessly. Because balance is not really about balancing what you give a little bit more or what you don't give. Balance is about recognizing the kingdom of God come first and go all in. Because Jesus, I believe, is the most balanced person, isn't he? Because he's 100% human and 100% God, right? That's very balanced. 100% divine and 100% human. But yet, some of the things that Jesus did doesn't seem to be very balanced, isn't it? He overturned the tables of the tax collectors and said that you have turned this house to become a den of thieves. This is a house of prayer. And so he was passionate, and he was quoted in scripture that zeal for my house has consumed him. Such zeal, such passion. Do you think it's all about thinking, Jesus, should I give them more or should I give them less? No, Jesus went all in. And when Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem, the Bible says this, that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew he was going to the cross, and he went all in. And his priority is you and I. His priority is to save us from our sins. He knew that God has sent him, and he went all in. Friends, that to me is balance as a Christian. And only then can you really come back and find balance. Because at the cross, the most balanced person actually went up there and gave all for you. But you must be wondering, Pastor Chris, today you have said a lot of things that maybe not very practical for me. And it's true. Because I did not talk about how you should balance your time. I did not talk about how you should balance how much serving, how much rest you should have. And so I went back to my balance ball. Yeah? All right? I've been practicing, you know. So my record is no longer 11 seconds, but pray for me. And I thought, since I start with the balance board, right? So I'm going to like end with the balance board. All right? So when my preaching voice go high, you know what happens. And I think that all of us try to balance, right? We try to balance, you know? Wow. And to be honest, you actually get better and better. And you actually can balance quite well. And you go back to your ministry serving, and then you start to think, wow, you know, I'm getting better at this now, you know. But you know what? I'm very tense and my core is feeling quite achy now. And at some moment, you need to stop. And what happened? You cry for help, right? And when you cry for help, what is going to happen? You know, you're looking. And you realize that, you know what? I think that feels quite good, huh? Now I'm not really struggling, but I'm quite kind of balanced now, okay? And I want you to know this, and I do this as an illustration for you to remember that in life, do you think that you can balance it all through? Having all these things that you want, that you care about, what you eat, what you drink, what you want? No! What the world is offering to you is an imbalanced life. But Jesus is offering to you grace, mercy, love. And when He's with you, you know what? I can balance for a long time as long as Andrew is here. Thank you, Andrew. And so even if you try harder, and I think we should work harder and we should get better in our serving. But remember, we will never be able to make it on our own strength. So I go back to the story when I told my wife I had to wake up earlier. That very next day, I woke up earlier. I did 3 runs in the morning at 5. And after I fall sick. I fell sick last week and it was terrible. It destroyed my whole week. And I thought to myself, I say, wow, I need to, you know, Pastor say must beat your face, you know, bruise your eye. Wow, that's discipline. But actually, I came to God and I said, God, you know, I want to be disciplined, but I know that I cannot do this. I know that this bruising is bruising my heart so that I can have more compassion for others. It's not really about all this external stuff. It's really about God. I want to close with this wonderful story I heard. Many years ago, there was this professor by the name of Dr. Edwin Orr. Dr. Edwin Orr actually brought many students to visit this place where they had put up place to, I think, in Wheaton College. And there were this place commemorates the Methodist Wesleyan Revival. And there was this place in this area where, you know, John Wesley used to pray here in a carpet beside a bed. And so he was describing about the revival and everything else. And then he got the student back into the bus. And then she was counting, you know, all the students, one student was missing. So they decided to look for this student and couldn't find. And finally they decided, why don't we go back to this room? And they found a student kneeling there, praying this prayer, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. This time, through me. And you know who is the young man? That's Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a young man who said, Lord, do it again. Do it again, through me. I think he's a balanced person because he seeks first the kingdom of God. Shall we all stand? And today I thought I would close with the song that we sang just now, Lord, I Offer My Life. Because I think even as we have been preaching about revival, talking about how the youth are excited, I think we do not just want an emotional response. And maybe you are thinking, yeah, I want to balance out my time. Maybe what we need today is for more people to be able to seek first the kingdom of God and then find balance there. Because when you really got that, you know that you don't need to waste time in many other things. I wonder if there are people here who say, Lord, I'm here, send me. Or there are people who say, Lord, do it again, this time through me. If that's you, let us respond with this offering song of ourselves before God. Thank you, Jesus.
That I am, I lay them down before you, O Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaims, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my life.
Just for a moment, I wonder if there's anybody who have heard this message and maybe have not really seriously give your life to Jesus Christ. And you thought today, maybe I want to seek the kingdom of God. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. With every eye closed right now, at the count of three, if there's anyone here, whether you're upstairs or downstairs, can I gently ask you to put your hand up so that we can pray for you? Anybody want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ? One, two, three. Praise God. Praise God. There are some. Anybody else? Anybody else on top? Father, we want to pray for those who have raised their hands and ask the Lord in the name of Jesus, Lord, that God, you will renew them, change them. And I pray that, Lord, as they offer their lives to you, Lord, they will make a commitment to follow you all the days of their life. And I pray that, Lord, you will use them for your glory, Lord. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give glory to God.
Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you, Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you, as a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my life.
So Father, we offer our lives to you, Lord, as living sacrifice. So send us out, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work for your praise and glory. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen, amen. The service is over. Do stay behind for some fellowship outside. Do check out the youth booth outside. And if you need prayer, please come forward. Our pastors are here to minister to you.